Hello, everyone. This is Kate Stillman with YogaHealer.com, and I'm glad to see so many people jumped on this call this morning. It's really going to be a fairly casual conversation with Dr. Claudia Welch, author of Balance Your Hormones, Balance Your Life. And what we're going to be talking about today is just a little bit about getting in touch with reality, getting to neutral, and living in integrity and in authenticity and really in sync with the life force. So welcome, Dr. Claudia. I'm so glad to have you here for the conversation this morning.
Oh, it is, as always, Kate, such a pleasure for me. And I wonder if we could, I know people will probably be joining for a minute or two and it might be confusing for them to have silence, but at the risk of it being confusing, can we start out with just a minute or so of meditation for everybody's intentions to get here and for that?
I would love
that.
Could we have a little morning meditation? All right. I don't know why.
Can we do nothing? Can we do nothing for a minute?
Yeah, it's really a good idea. So let's do nothing for a second and really nothing and just get here. I guess doing nothing and getting here is kind of the same thing. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here. And can I just launch into something for a minute, Kate?
Oh, please.
All right. So, you know, everybody, when we do these these are free introductory conversations that we do a couple times a year now so that we can launch the Healthier Hormones course and have a bit of a live component for those of you who are joining for the pre-recorded sessions. And we'll do this again in a question and answer session after we're done with the six-week course again. But when we do these, you know, we just don't really have an agenda for what we have to say. The quality of these conversations is not necessarily indicative of the course because we have a serious agenda for the courses and they're packed. But for these conversations, part of the main reason for me to have these conversations is to keep this Healthier Hormones community of people who've chosen to live in awareness together and supported in our journey. And I wanna talk about how that is for me. A lot of you, when you join this course, Healthier, and I don't want to sound all promote-y about the course, but I am amazed by this course in some very personal ways and some ways that really touch me in terms of how other people are motivated by this course. But one of the things when you sign up for this course, we ask everybody to do, including ourselves, including Kate and myself, is to make a commitment to either make a commitment or recommit to something that we've committed to before in terms of our daily routines in our lives, something that makes our lives better, something that improves our lives, which, you know, you'd think it would be great. Oh, it's going to improve my life. I'll do it. But the weird thing is sometimes it takes courage to do that. But what we see over and over is people making these changes. And for me personally, I want to share a few things personally about how this has helped me. One of the things when we first ran this course, which was almost a year ago, it was August 2012, I had a daily routine that I followed, but I didn't have a serious bedtime. And so one of the things I committed to was going to bed by 10, you know, lights out 10. And granted, that has turned into 10:15, 10:18 on many occasions. But it really did change my daily routine. And what I found was one of the most important parts of my daily routine was when I went to bed. So that really, from August when we ran that course live to January when we ran it the second time, which is pre-recorded, which, by the way, didn't feel like it lost anything to me by not being live, because Kate and I participate even when the pre-recorded sessions are running through Facebook and energetically, I guess. And so when we did it again, I needed that reinforcement again, because it's so easy to let certain things slip. So for me, I recommitted to that. And then I want to talk a little bit, if Kate will be so kind to permit indulgence of me talking about personal stuff. And I'm just going to assume you're okay with that, Kate.
Well, wait, because I want to hear what the benefits were. Like, so
I'll get there. But okay. But the benefits are outstanding, but it's really, so I recommitted to it in January. It, you know, it changed my daily routine basically, because my morning practice, I'm so much more prepared for it because I'm well rested and I'm present. And I'm not getting up like, oh, crap, I've got to get out of bed and do this. You know, I want to stay in bed. So I'm really ready to do that. And it changes my equilibrium throughout the day. So that's the main benefit. But I want to talk about how in this last, okay, since January, everything was going along great, getting to bed by 10. And then, you know, a major life change happened. And I want to talk about this a little bit in terms of how we get off our routines and what's capable of doing that when we're committed to our routines. You know, when I started this bedtime thing, like I've got to get to bed at 10 p.m., my husband was a little bit of a reluctant traveler on that journey. Like, what? We have a bedtime now? You know, we have to go to bed by 10, but there's this, you know, wonderful music thing I want to go to, and my sister, you know, or family members would be like, well, I can't, you know, you're really going to go to bed? There's this important, you know, community gathering, and I really had to recognize that if I made an exception for every one of these things, I would never have a bedtime. And then after about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 6 months of this business of having a bedtime, my husband started to say to people, you know, people say they go to bed around 10. We don't go to bed around 10. We go to bed at 10. We have a bedtime. And he said, I really kind of resisted it at first. He said, now I love it. I love having a bedtime. And I don't know why he loves it. I haven't really asked him why he loves it, but I love it because it makes my morning routine enjoyable instead of a drag, and more allows me to be more present and then have the equilibrium throughout the day. But so I was really committed to it. So I will say that in the last month, it has dropped off some. And I want to talk about why it has dropped off. And this is not because it's only applicable to me, but because I have seen this in interesting ways in my life. Do you mind if we go into this a bit, Kate, before we go into the other stuff that we thought we would talk about?
That
All right.
sounds great.
All right, so there's this concept in India called Sutaka, S-U-T-A-K-A, Sutaka, and the Sutaka means a number of things. One thing it means is charioteer. Another thing it means is Mercury. It's kind of a slippery term. It's hard to exactly nail down, but when you look at those two main meanings, charioteer and Mercury, what it's talking about is a state of mind that spans two realities. So in other words, if you're a charioteer, you're helping someone or yourself and someone to move between two realities, the reality of this earth plane, of five elements, and for example, and another reality. So what I mean by that, what is meant by that, Sutaka is a term applied to people who are present at life, at the beginnings of life, and at death. So at births and at deaths. So this greatly applies to, for example, midwives and hospice workers, but also to family members of people who are giving birth, being born, dying, and of a mother who is giving birth, and the person themselves who are dying, of course, they're in this transition, and they seriously make the transition. But those of us who are present at the deathbeds of people, those are who are present at birth, perhaps because of our attachment to these souls that we are presiding over and companioning, if I can make up a word, we, because our consciousness is partly with them and partly in this world, partly with them as they make a transition from a different world, a different reality, to this reality, we are spanning, in a sense, two realities, this reality and a more subtle reality, the reality pre-birth for a baby, and the reality of another world that the soul is transitioning to at death. And this period of time is called Sutaka. Those of us present at births and deaths and these sorts of things experience this Sutaka period. And we experience a bit having one foot in one reality and one foot in another reality. Does that make sense so far, Kate, before I move on?
Absolutely.
Okay, so, you know, my guru used to say we go where we're attached. So we're attached to this baby coming in. We're attached to the soul who's departing. So part of our awareness and our focus is with that soul, and that soul is experiencing another reality or moving towards another reality or just transition to another reality. So this Sutaka period is a bizarre period. You might say that it's sort of like an altered state that maybe an artist or a musician who has part of their consciousness in another reality trying to channel something into this five-element reality. It's similar to that. You're in this altered state, and it's considered to last very strongly for 2 weeks, and in my experience, for a death or a powerful situation, it lasts quite a bit longer. For example, with a death, if it's someone I've been attached to and they leave, it takes probably a year for that to really fade, but very strong for a couple of weeks, they say, and that's certainly been my experience. And during that period of time, you're not supposed to do anything practical. It's not an auspicious time to begin things. And why? Because to do something practical in this five-element reality, we really need to be seriously present here to be able to move things around literally and figuratively and move through this reality with our feet on the ground, you might say, not with our head in a different reality, which is partly where it is when we're in Sutaka. So one of the bizarre things that I've found in my life with this Sutaka period is that it has a It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal to really surrender to this altered state. It's phenomenal. It's a little window into an altered reality that is pretty incredible to swim around in. And so that makes it kind of ironic, the effect that I have seen this have on me personally. And I would like to share this because we all go through these periods. One time when I was present at a birth, for example, I had had a very strong dinacharya, a very strong practice going that would last hours and hours every day. And I went and I was present at this birth, you know, and I was doing my mantra and I was very present. You'd think it would support the continuation of that dinacharya that I had, but it broke it. It broke it so completely. I just couldn't get back to that extended dinacharya. I never did, people. And so that was the first time I found this bizarre result of the disruptive effect that Sutaka can have, even though it's this esoteric, beautiful time, an intense time. It can really sever, in my experience, the dinacharya practice. So then this happened a few other times, and I've played with it a little bit, like how I can use it to support the dinacharya instead of have it fall apart. And I don't have the full answers on that. It certainly helps to do a mantra and stay in the present with those situations, but I still find it hard. So about a little over a month ago, my brother-in-law, as many of you on this call may know, because this happened during a time I was leading a retreat in Vermont for women, and this happened the first day of that retreat. But my brother-in-law had a severe stroke, and he was in a coma basically for a couple of weeks, and started to come out. So this also triggered a Sutthaka experience for me, where because of my attachment for him and my focus on him, I really felt like I had one foot in this world and one foot where he was, wherever that was, or trying to find him in that other place, trying to join him in that other place, in a sense. It wasn't an overt trying. It was just a place where my attention was going because of my attachment and focus. So I felt very much in that altered state, and my bedtime in the last few weeks has just exploded. It's just been impossible for me to make myself get into bed at 10. And the, some of these are for real reasons where I had to be at the hospital or whatever. But a great part of it is a feeling that I've seen where my prana gets scattered. And what I really feel is the need to regroup, to reconsolidate that prana. And for me, this group and this commitment on a regular basis, so this is even for people who have been through this course, who I know are on this call, people who have, we've studied together, we've worked together. This is why this Sangha, this community, is so important for me, and I think for others, because I've seen that on the Healthier Hormones group page, how this brings us back. And after a Sutthaka period, I find it essential for me to go into retreat, to get the support I need, to return to commitment, to return my energy to a grounded, pull that energy back from the ethers, back from those ungrounded, holy places, and bring it into the holy present five element reality. We need to be here in this five element reality. We need to function in it, and it requires something of us. And this is will sort of lead into what we're going to talk about today, right? Which is getting to neutral. It requires us to get to neutral in the sense of being present and ready, and present and ready. Let's leave it at that. Present and ready in this five element reality. So that's one thing this course does for me. And I know I'm going on forever, and it's much more interesting if we have a conversation, but I'm going to, at the risk of barreling along, well, I'm going to barrel along for a minute. So it has a profound effect on me personally and my recommitment with this group, and it's a beautiful confession, right, is to have a bedtime at 10 o'clock again. And to reinforce my ability to keep my eyes shut for the entire time I'm meditating in the morning. Those are my commitments again this time. It's bringing me back to that, and I'm so grateful for that. And I know it does this from the confessions and the testimonies, right, from, at the risk of sounding like a preacher, that in the Healthier Hormones group, we see our community going through the need for this support, and I go through it myself. The other power of this, I just want to talk about. Last night I was with my brother-in-law who had the stroke. He's doing so beautifully. He's improving every day. I was sitting by his side, and I asked him if he would like to hear some messages that people have sent me to give to him or read to him or about him. And he said yes, and this was the first time since his stroke that I've asked him if he would like to hear these. It's sort of the first time we had the time and he had the presence, and he fully understands everything, so even though he can't speak very well. So I read him some of the comments that people on the Healthier Hormones Facebook page wrote us. His wife is in the Healthier Hormones course, and when this happened, a number of members of the Healthier Hormones course posted some things. Four of the people who posted things posted stories about loved ones they knew who had strokes and they completely recovered from, four people out of a dozen or so entries and posts. I read this to Chris, to my brother-in-law, and I read him many other messages. I read this stuff to him for an hour, and at the end of that hour, people, he has not been able to move his right side of his body. He has not been able to move except for the most infinitesimal movement in his right arm. At the end of the hour of reading him these messages, he lifted his right arm off the bed 3 times, about 8 inches. I could have danced around the room, and maybe it's a coincidence, and maybe not. But what I think is that the Facebook group, you know, I was never a fan of Facebook for a long time, and with this group, I have found just it's so beautiful, the support that people give each other in this group, and the support that we give each other in different phases of life. That one of the members of the Facebook page wrote me personally an incredible account of her conscious birth. People are getting support from this page and from this course, and I'd like to share, because I hadn't before, how much it's supporting me and how much I see it supporting people. It's so beautiful to have a community of conscious individuals who have committed to living consciously, have committed to making changes in our lives that get us to neutral. And I see it. I see one of the men in this group posted a beautiful open mic session that he did where he's singing about family and he's singing Sanskrit. And members in this course are so inspiring to me and I think we are to each other, in that we understand that people all around the world are committing seriously and joyfully to changing our lives, and it is profound. So that's a long introduction to talking about getting to neutral, so I'll turn it over to you for a bit, Kate, but it was really in my heart this morning to share that.
Yeah, it's really so many beautiful things in what you said, and it reminded me too, like, how the period before, you know, the day gets going is like that Sutika period. You know, it's like, we don't go to bed early enough, we don't get up early enough to really to witness the birthing of the day, right? So we don't have that time where, you know, I loved how you said, like, it's not the time to do something practical, like, because I really feel that way about the pre-dawn time. It's not time to, like, get busy doing something. It's the time to just be. And if that doesn't happen, there's a different state for the rest of the day. So there's something that dies when that can't be born, when that can't be witnessed. And what I keep coming back to is, like, what conversations do I want to be in on? Like, what conversations do I want to be having? Not just, not even just with other people, but, like, in my own brain, right? So when I'm doing something and I have a thought sequence arise, that, like, what conversation do I want that to be? Well, that's going to be largely influenced by the conversations that I'm in on. And so part of having the time in the, you know, time in the morning, part of why for me it's so essential just to have the quiet, have the time to not do anything practical, but to be awake, right? To be awake and not doing something practical is enabling a whole other conversation to occur in my life. And when I look at it and I look at all the other conversations that I'm in my life, like, most of the people I'm in conversation with in my life right now also have that experience, that pre-dawn, non-practical time for, you know, the no thing. And what I'm sure everyone on the call wants to hear about is, like, well, why does that tie into our hormones getting healthier? And so I'd love for you to talk about that, Dr. Claudia. But before you do, I just also want to mention, I'm reading this book. This is funny. I'm reading this book, Choose Yourself, by James Altucher. He's written 11 books. The last one he wrote was, like, 40 Things You Should Do Instead of Going to College. So I read business books. Most of you guys who know me well know that I mostly read business books and enlightenment books. And what I keep finding is that the really good cutting-edge entrepreneur books are more or less teaching the exact same things as the enlightenment books, which I find totally amazing and, of course, and totally amazing. I'm always just, like, blown away. So it's great. So this guy, James Altucher, he's like a serial multi-zillion-dollar entrepreneur. He's very free. in what he and how he lives his life. He's very free in what companies he starts and what ideas he explores. You can read about him on YouTube, but or you can listen to him on TED Talks or read his blog, I mean. But anyways, what's so interesting about this book is Choose Yourself is like it's like in the fourth chapter, he has this whole chapter. He devotes a chapter on the simple daily practice. So here's this guy who's honestly one of the most like free thinkers, and he's living in his life in this incredibly liberated way. And yet his simple daily practice is, and he tells people in the book, he's like, try any one of these things each day. A, sleep 8 hours. B, eat 2 meals instead of 3. C, no TV. D, no junk food. He just goes on and on. I mean, this list is, let me see how many letters in the alphabet he goes through. He goes through Z. So you've got 26 things that are more or less dinacharya, right? And some of them are just really beautiful. Like, you know, some of them are standard, no gossip, no complaining. Others are express thanks to a friend. Others are like save someone's life today because you can. And it's just this simple thing of like, what do we hold ourselves to? Who are we being influenced by in terms of the little micro choices that we're making? And so one of the things I just want to read from this, which I love, is how when we change our daily routine and we get more in alignment with how the life force works and we experience more deep energy, and from that deep energy we experience a deep freedom, the things in the outer world start to change. And I think this is too, you know what, it'll just unfold into the conversation that Claudia started out with. But he says the simple daily practice is the same. All you really need to do to get off the floor is acknowledge that it's not your external life that needs to change. You have little control over that. But that external changes flow from the inside. External changes in your life are like the final ripples of the ocean that lap onto distant shores. A promotion, a raise, a new job offer, a new relationship. These are the final ripples. The ocean is inside you. Becoming aware of that infinite presence doesn't require meditation in a cave for 50 years. It involves simply being healthy. Healthy not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. For now, the simple daily practice means doing one thing every day. And then he launches into the 26 things. So to me, it's really cool to see that, you know, the conversations that I'm in on, like what I'm reading, who I'm talking to, hanging out with Dr. Claudia on these calls, you know, everything's pointing to the same thing. Like if you have a serious structure to your external life, the amount of freedom in your internal life is infinite. And yet, what I find is like most of my, you know, just kind of like people that are in my exterior life that are not these intentional relationships are living in a totally different plane of reality where you can stay up really, really late and you can totally blow off that pre-dawn, you know, do nothing experience and you can eat whatever you want. But what I see in that is just the deep, deep limitations in the reality of how you then experience the physical, mental, emotional, and relational planes.
Okay, that is great. Could you read that one line again? It's so powerful and beautiful towards the beginning of that quote where he's talking about the one thing you need to know to get your butt in gear in the morning is to know that you can't do anything about your external life. It's your internal life that has to change. Can you read that one line again?
Yeah, yeah. He says, all you really need to do to get off the floor. Oh, and I should preface this because he's had these times and he's created these companies that are worth like $100 million and then he's gone broke and he's had, you know, he had kids and he's like, how am I going to support my kids? So he's been so depressed. He's been like on the floor. And this has been his discovery. Like these 26 things or these, you know, the A to Z of the simple routine has been what he's found has helped him get rolling again. And not just rolling, but I mean, he's awake. So he says, all you need to do to get off the floor is acknowledge that it's not your external life that needs to change. You have little control over that. But that external changes flow from the inside.
I just love that. I just love that. I feel like, you know, you can read that and every day. That could go on the wall. And so I don't know if I'm going to get to talking about why this affects our hormones. That's what the course is about, right? So I don't know that I'm all that attached to giving practical information in this call. But I want to talk about we're just having a conversation here. This is a way we can all get together. We can all get reinforced, revitalized with this. But when you're talking about what conversation do I want to be in life, Kate, it's so powerful. And it's a choice, and it's a choice over and over. And because this business with my brother-in-law's stroke has been so usurping of my focus over the last 6 weeks or so, I want to bring an example of this forward. A couple of examples. But early on, when we weren't sure if Chris was going to make it or not, there was a doctor who came in, and my niece asked him, "What do you think the chances of my father walking out of here whole are?" And the doctor couldn't say anything, and he cried. And then he said, "It was a bad bleed because it was a hemorrhagic stroke." And he left. And so we spent the next 3 hours thinking we might be saying goodbye. And then the next doctor we spoke to had spoken to the neurological team and seen the same CT scans as the first doc. And he answered my niece's same question by saying, "Well, I think he could get out of here with some deficiency on his right side." This was a tremendous array of possibility, from we were losing him to he'd be okay, basically. And at that moment, I realized, oh, we get a menu here, and we get to choose. I choose full recovery, and that's what I'm going to focus on. And it's not false hope. It is a place to land my focus. And from that point on, truly, and I told Chris this last night, and it was a good conversation. From that point on, truly, I felt like focusing on anything less than the best possibility for him and for us was a sin. And that's a powerful word to use, sin, but I'm using it very consciously because a dear friend of mine, Russell Perkins, has shown a lot of light on things for me over the years. And one of the things is this word sin, that he says in the New Testament, the word sin is simply, it's the translation of a term, of a Greek archery term, hamartia. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right because I don't know Greek, but hamartia is this archery term that simply means missing the mark. So for example, if we're looking for God, then anytime we're focusing on anything else, it's hamartia. It's a sin, which gives a little bit more understanding to this idea that, oh, we're great sinners and we sin so much and so forth, because if we're focusing on the positive, anytime we get off that mark and stray, it's hamartia. And So this for me has been powerful, and it feels in my body at the risk of sounding corny, in my cells, I feel like I am doing a disservice when I leave that mark. In this situation, it's very clear to me. And why this is important in terms of this, what conversation do I want to be having conversation, is what conversation we want to be having. What kind of conversation do I want to be having with myself? What do I want for myself? And who do I want to be with? And what kind of company do I want to keep? It's not that some company is bad or some company is less than. It's just, what company do I want to keep from sinning myself? In other words, what company do I want to keep my focus on the mark that I have chosen to keep it on? I'm still a great sinner in the sense that my focus wavers very many times in a day, but my guru told me many years ago, in fact, when I was 8 years old, just before I met him, he wrote me a letter, and in this letter, which has really guided my life in many ways, he wrote, and many of you who have studied with me know this, keep good company. Good company makes a man great. And it's what we're doing here. It's supporting a conversation with ourselves. It's supporting a conversation, I believe, in the destiny of the planet we're living on. So I know that sounds lofty, but I believe it's true. And one other thing I want to mention, which is not quite along those lines, is Do you have anything to say, Kate, before I go change the subject?
Amen.
All right, amen. For some reason, this is going from the sublime to the very practical, but somebody had contacted Kate or I, forget, and said, you know, I don't think I need this course. I've studied Ayurveda for a long time, and I've sat in on an introductory call, and I think it's, you know, it was nice, but it was kind of basic. And I say amen. This is basic. This is absolutely basic. The course is not. And I think if you join the course, you'll find many people in this course have practiced Ayurveda for years and studied Ayurveda for years and are really deep thinkers in Ayurveda. And so these classes, you know, these live conversations that we're having, it's not my intention to give a whole bunch of new practical information. There's a bunch of that in the course. Really, the intention is to keep this alive by keeping the conversation alive. The information is in the course, but the ability and the opportunity that we have to connect, all the people who have done the course before, for Kate and I to connect, because Kate and I are quite busy. We don't get to hang out once a week and chat and keep this alive for us together. So this is what this call is about, what these calls for me deeply are about, is the good company aspect, is the let's connect in love, let's connect in truth, let's see what's going on in our lives and realize over and over again the living importance of what we're practicing and learning in this course. So that's why I'm not going into the nuts and bolts here of why changing your life changes your hormones and all of that kind of stuff. That's what the course is for. But this is not only for people who are interested in the course, but it's really for those of us who have taken the course and done the course a number of times, who need to reconnect. And, you know, I know that a bunch of people on the course, on the call today, are people who have taken this course. So we all recognize the value of that. So I just wanted to mention that. And I know at some point we'll open this call up for questions and comments and so forth. And it's also your time to share, those of you who have been on the course before, if you want to just share what's going on. So let me turn this back to you, Kate.
Yeah, it was, I just want to say too, like I'm looking forward to it personally, not just for my daily rhythms and getting into deeper, you know, just deeper integrity personally, although never a bad thing for me. But I'm also just, for me, it's like to re-listen. You talk so much in the course about how things work in my endocrine system in a way, in a language, in the yogic and Ayurvedic language that rings so deeply true to me. Like it's such a deep matrika. Like it's such a true matrika for me, or the words and the philosophy make sense in my physiology and waken new pathways and new ways of experiencing my physiology, which then like that opens that inner ocean that starts to like ripple. You know, like I'm excited to do it again. Let's just say that for personal reasons.
Yay.
And just because I'm more mature, you know, like this is one thing too I'm really finding is that, because I do, some of you guys know this, some of you don't, but I do a lot of business coaching with yoga teachers and healers, and I'm like, my goodness, like we don't know how to mature. Like my elders have not taught me how to mature, and like that there's an expectation, like I sense that consciousness has an expectation of maturation, right? Like when you're following my five-year-old around, she wastes energy. Like there's no consciousness around conservation at all of anything. You know, she's just like all over the place. And you see older people and they conserve, you know, they conserve their energy. And so there's clearly a potential to mature our relationship with prana and our relationship with energy and to expect more of ourselves, every year, to expect more maturation, not just maturation of how we are in relationship with the life force, although that is essential, but also this, you know, this maturation of our own integrity in all aspects of our life, and a maturation, in my experience, of our cognitive understanding of things. Like, I should know how my body works better every year because, A, it's all I really got, right? There's money in the bank, yada, yada, but this is all I really got, and I'm pretty clear on that. And so I should like keep reviewing that owner's manual, and if someone writes a better one, I think I should check that one out.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate that, and it also reminds me, you know, we started out with the idea of getting to neutral, which has sort of been this phrase in my head for the last 4 or 5 months or so, and in my last newsletter, you know, wrote about that, and many of you may have read that, so I'm not going to get into everything I get into there, but, you know, one of the reasons it's been going around in my head is for years when talking about dinacharya and the time it takes to take care of ourselves, whether it's with patients or students or participants at workshops or whatever, there's every once in a while there's this response, this, let's say, reaction to that information that is incredulous. It's kind of like, you want me to what? You want me to spend how much time a day taking care of myself? You know, like it's this, like I wrote in the newsletter, it's like this, like I devised some personal way of torturing them particularly and disrespecting their time, because their time is so packed. How could they possibly be able to take a couple hours a day? Because really, that's the minimum of what it takes to take care of themselves. And you know, I've been kind of having this in the back of my mind because when I am sometimes hit with that, because that's what it feels like sometimes, that reaction is that reactive hit, like, what? You want me to what? It's sort of like, this isn't personal about me wanting you to do something. It isn't personal about people who, like Ayurveda, trying to make other people do things because why? Because we have some twisted agenda to make the world better? I don't know. But it's really just what it takes to get to neutral. You know, we're really not talking about in a dinacharya, even that's 2 hours long, that involves cooking for yourself and waking up and meditating some and doing a little bit of yoga and some movement and eating food that has prana in it and working with our prana to get rid of some of the obstructions that are there and increase that relationship that we have with prana and cultivate that prana. It's, you know, when we're doing all of that, it's not making us super women. It's bringing us to neutral. If we wanted to become super women, seriously, we would have to spend a lot more time. It would really have to become our life. So if, you know, I think if we want to become super women, super men, our life has to become this. We can't afford hamartia. We can't afford missing the mark. And so our whole life becomes that. That's lofty. That's perhaps the few and the privileged. And maybe we can become the few and the privileged. So as my guru used to say, what man has done, man can do, which of course means same for men and women. What someone has done, we can do. We can become those things, but it takes time. And in the meantime, you know, we're not talking about developing tremendous strength and flexibility and being the best yogi in the world and, you know, being the most healthy specimen in the human arena or having incredible emotional stability and spiritual prowess. We're just talking about what it takes to get to neutral, because we have a lot of things pulling us in other directions, things we're attached to, things that disturb us, things that enthrall us, things that attract us, all these things going on in our lives, and all the pollutants and the bad air and the bad politics and whatever else is quote-unquote bad out there. That's pulling on our attention and our jobs and our responsibilities and so forth. It's minimal to spend a couple of hours a day, minimum in a day, is not asking a huge amount. It's simply saying what the classics say we need to do to stay neutral. So it's not this lofty thing that are for the few and privileged. It's really what we all need to be doing in order to stay healthy. And oh my God, what would our communities look like if we did this? I mean, I think about this a lot with my brother-in-law having a stroke and the people in my community who are unhealthy, who need to learn, who need to be inspired in healthier programs and ways of thinking and diets. And when we do it, it has a trickle-out effect. It's that ocean and ripple thing. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about getting to neutral. I'm talking about not riding the highs and wallowing in the lows. I'm talking about getting to neutral, you know, just doing this. And it goes back to that beautiful sentence that Kate read, you know, what you need to know to get off the floor, and is to know that external change is a reflection of internal change. And it's not a crappy job that we have to resign ourselves to. It's a privilege. So I feel very privileged to be here with you. I think we're going to open this up for questions and comments pretty soon. And Kate has a few things to share with us about how this course is going to work and when the question and answer session is going to be live at the end, and also how you can access this course, the recordings after we're done. So Kate, let me turn it over to you.
Yeah, I just want to say there's a few things that you just said that I just can't help but comment on. And one is like, it's holding a higher vision for like for our families, holding a higher vision for our friends, for our communities. Like that's big. I mean, that's really it's getting so big. Especially, I mean, I know a lot of you are yogis, and you identify with that your life has a spiritual purpose to it, and that this kind, like holding this kind of vision and stepping into integrity with it, is really what does make the change in the external world. So it's, to me, it's just a big deal. So I just wanted to highlight that. I wanted to say one more thing before I dive into course details. And I got this email. I've gotten this email a few times from different people, but I have you know, low thyroid function. They're asking me for a consultation. Will you do a consultation with me? And I'm always like, well, please just sign up for the Healthier Hormones course, because it's way better than a consultation with me. And I'm just going to tell you to take the course and the consultation if you do a consultation with me. And then I get the email back, I don't have time. I don't have time for the course. Like, I don't have time to learn, you know, to do this. And what's interesting is, I know Claudia's had the same conversation with a few people, and often we can convince them that, like, no, like, this is going to, like, this is why, you know, this is, like, why there's some thyroid issues. It's like there's a connection with how we don't have time to learn what we need to do and to take the time and integrate it. And that's why the course is 6 weeks. That's why we have an ongoing community around it, is because the real changes that are really going to help us experience physiological states that are moving towards better and better balance, more harmony, that they take time, and they take a shift, and they take learning. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
It's so true. And on the plus side of that, I had the same email interaction with someone who was interested about thyroid, and I said, this is a longer conversation than I can have here. Please take the course, and then we could have a conversation.
Yeah.
And she signed up for the course immediately. So it's great to see when people put the time where they want to spend it.
Yeah. So just quick details on the course, and anyone who's on the call, you'll get an email with the details. I know many of you are already in it. And for those who are looking to sign up, basically we've recorded these 6 sessions, which are lessons, and you get those over email over the next 6 weeks. We'll start them on July 5th, although it's all recorded, so as soon as you sign up, you get access to everything. But we do recommend to listen to the calls a week apart and to be on our Facebook forum, even for those of you who also have that initial resistance, like both I and Dr. Claudia did to Facebook, because it is such a great community, and it's private in there, so anything you say in there stays in there, and it doesn't go on your other Facebook page, et cetera. And there's a very elevated and authentic conversation that's going on that's of high integrity. And that really helps us step into that maturation of our own integrity, our mind, body, spirit integrity in the course. So you get access to the forum, not just for the 6 weeks, but forevermore. And when we say that this is a community, it really is. Like it's $149 to get in the door, and there's no upsell, right? Like that's it. And that's how we've decided to do it. And we have a few of these calls a year where we just check in. There's a live call at the end of every group going through. The next live call will be Friday, August 16th, and that will only be for the members of the course, so both the new and the old members of the course. It'll be at the same time as this call was. And it's more of a Q&A. It's just we go over a lot of the questions that came up on the forum over the last 6 weeks that we feel like there's a deeper conversation in there. And there's also just, you know, everyone that can be live on the call just raising their hand and bringing their voice to the conversation. You also, in the course, you also get the Prana CD that Dr. Claudia made, which is, I use it all the time. It's on my iPhone, and I just absolutely love having the, you know, these short 15 to 20 minute sessions that waken my pranic body up in the morning, and that's also part of it, and you'll need that in the course. So that's why that's part of it. There's a bunch of handouts and PDFs that are all in there as well. So that's the offer. It's $149. It's a steal as far as any of my online courses go. And I just want to say, like, you know, it's really cool that you get access into a community that holds you to a deeper integrity, because I know personally that's hard to find. So let's open the line for questions now. If anyone has any questions, go ahead and press 1, and we will put you right on the line. I also want to say, if you're like, oh, July 5th, like I've got a lot going on. When you register, like you can go at your own pace. Some people will register now, and they'll just, you know, start to listen, and then they'll really commit, you know, in a couple of weeks, and that's just fine too. But I do suggest, like for me personally, I'm going to do the course in real time, because that's going to hold me. It's just going to hold me to another level of being present in the conversation. All right, so Anitra Brown, I'm probably butchering your name. Hi.
Hi. So I have a question about getting up in the morning. When I hear pre-dawn, I just absolutely shudder. And I'm very slow, very sluggish in the morning. Even when I go to bed earlier, if I wake up at like 6, I just want to turn over and sleep some more. And I've also heard two different things about alarms. Like some people say, like, don't use alarms, you know, because it might interrupt your, you know, hour and a half sleep cycle, or, you know, don't use them. Just, you know, wake up naturally. And then I've also heard, you know, oh, yeah, use them, you know, if you need to get up at a certain time, it'll start to train your body. So anyway, I just, and plus, you know, I can make my own schedule, so I don't have to like get up at a certain time, and so it tends to be, you know, later, like let's say 9. I tend to sleep from like midnight to 9. Anyway, so just a question about, you know, starting to try to shift that earlier and using alarms.
And can I have a first shot at this, Kate?
Yeah, please.
All right. So, well, first of all, we're going to talk about this in the course, about why we get up early in the morning and that kind of thing. And so then there might be some inspiration to shift that. But there's two possibilities here. Maybe there's countless possibilities, but two possibilities come to my mind. One is that you need to wake up, and two is that you need to sleep. All right? And I'm going to make this more applicable to everybody, which is, you know, because many people are in this situation. If we're really sluggish, and then there may be some shifts that our body needs to that would help our body feel more alive and more engaged in the morning and more excited to wake up. You know, things like cleanses and so forth, and maybe Kate can talk about that a little bit, and shifting health. But the other possibility, which applies to many people, is if you've been exhausted for decades, you might need to have a period of time where you get untired. I'm making up a word there. I think that's a word that I just made up, but maybe it's a real word. I know. Anyway, there might be a period of time where you need to get untired before you have any interest in waking up early. And that may be priority number one. So we do talk in the course about why we talk about exactly your question, why get up in the early morning. And I'll leave that to the course to talk about. But Kate, do you want to say anything else about cleanses? I mean, you know, my experience has been we feel really sluggish. It's time for a cleanse.
Yeah, I think that's true. And then usually when, like I was talking to someone, I talked to two people yesterday that are going through a detox with me, and they're two different parts of the country, and they're just like, I'm so tired. I'm like, yes, like you're now getting an integrity with your physiology. Like that's real, you know, like you're tired. And I'm like, not everyone experiences that. If someone's like pretty clean and they detox, they're not tired, you know, like they're awake. So yeah, I think that's a really big deal. And I think too, you know, it's like my experience with when I get out of sync and I stay up too late, because I've known the difference of going to bed early and waking up early and knowing what happens before the dawn, just the spiritual potentiality, that it enables another experience of reality that grounds, mm-hmm. is the ground behind the rest of my reality. It's like the ground behind whether I believe my thoughts or my emotions and let them affect my choices. And if I don't get access. It's a shut door. I mean, it really is. It's like, sorry, Kate, nope, you're not coming in here today. Try again tomorrow, you know? So, yeah.
Well, you know, I loved, Kate, when you were talking earlier about how this early morning period is a sutaka period. It is one of those periods where we have one foot in one reality and one in another. We've had the more etheric reality of where we've been while we're sleeping, and we have this approaching reality of entering life, a new life and a new day. And being present for that transition is it's the only time of day where that happens, where it's a transition from the dark to the light, a transition from a previous life into the new life of the new day. You know, there's another sutaka period at night where we're saying goodbye to this and moving into another reality at night. And that also is not present. That particular kind of energy is not present at any other time of day. It's a specific potential and a specific reality that we get to experience if we're awake during that transition that may either be important or not for us to partake in. I know we only have a couple more minutes. I'd like to particularly extend an invitation for anybody who's been in this course or been in the Balanced Life Retreat in Vermont, or been in the Kripalu graduating class. If any of you are on there, if you are moved to say anything or introduce yourselves, really love to hear from you in the next minute. Go ahead and put your hand up if there's something that you want to say or would like to introduce yourself. And I know it's going to be brief because we have 1 minute, but let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, so Jenny Kramer, you've got the mic.
Okay, hi everybody. Well, what I want to say is, and I feel like I'm about to counter a little bit of what you just said, but when I went through Healthier Hormones last fall, I was a nursing mama. I was probably getting 3 hours of sleep a night, and waking up for the dawn was such a lovely concept that was just not, like, what my self-care routine needed was sleep. And so there was a little part of me that's like, I can't do this. And then I said, you know what, I'm just going to do everything they say to do, but I'm just going to do it whenever I can in my day. And it's not going to all come together. So I'd wake up, I'd scrape my tongue, I'd drink some hot water with lemon, and then I'd nurse my son and clean the house and blah, blah, blah. And then later on, I'd find myself walking, and I'd do 3 to 5 minutes of alternate nostril breathing. And I guess what I want to say is I saw dramatic changes in my health just from the simple things that I did. And now here I am, I'm back again. My son is now sleeping through the night, yay. And I'm going to get up at 5:30 and do it all again, and I'm excited for the new level of changes. And so I guess what I want to say to people is, if you think you can't do it all and you're kind of an all-or-nothing person like I am, don't not do it because you can't do it all. Like, there's so much – I mean, honestly, I was like – I'm like the hippie herbal girl, but my seasonal allergies have been so bad that I've taken Claritin the last few years. And this last fall, I did healthier hormones. I cleansed in the fall. I cleansed in the spring. And this year was like the worst allergy season ever, and I didn't have any seasonal allergies. And I'm like, wait a second, was it that simple? I can't believe it was that simple. I didn't go get acupuncture. I didn't, you know, like, I'm like, I can't believe this, you know. And even like in allergy season, I can't eat dairy. I've been frivolous about dairy. Nothing happened. And I'm like, I can't believe this is so simple. And even, you know, some of the parts of the Dinacharya that I couldn't do because I was nursing my son, I was going to sound kind of funny. I just imagined doing them, and I really feel like I got part of it. You know, like when I couldn't go out jogging, I would go out walking just to get my circulation going for like 5 minutes in the morning, but I would imagine that I was sweating. And I think that I got something off of it. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. It goes along with what I first said, which is there's two possibilities. Either you need to get up or you need to sleep. So if you need to sleep, it really takes priority. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say about that is amen to imagining things. Do you know there's a study of people who were learning tennis physically and people who were imagining learning tennis? They got the same lessons, but one group acted them out and one group thought them out, and they both not only got equally good at playing tennis, but they also both gained muscle mass in the places where you would gain muscle mass if you're doing tennis. So imagining things works for the brain.
Yeah.
I know we're out of time.
That's
but
amazing. I want to say one more thing on the postpartum thing too. Is I have, and I will post this in the course that's really easy to find. But in my blog, I remade a sheet, like it's basically like daily rhythms for postpartum, because I so get that, and I made a little cheat sheet on it that's colorful and pretty to print out because the rules are different. And when we try to fit ourselves into this box, it creates tension, and that's the last thing we want to do. So thanks for the reminder to do that, and I'm so glad that you've experienced, you know, what you've experienced.
Amen. Me too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So I know we're out of time. I know there's also another hand up. Should we just do one last really brief?
Yeah, sure. Kathy, I'll give you the mic. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, how are you, Kate? How are you? Claudia, I know both of you. One, because I took Kate's teacher Ayurvedic study. It was the first year you ever offered it. It was super. And Claudia, I know you from Kripalu. I was part of the Kripalu graduating class of 2012. You came and lectured us for the Ayurvedic school. And I just wanted to say that the Dinacharya is so important, not just for you, but for your family, because what I have found, I remember Claudia saying, you know, just put it out there and see what happens with your family. And I have a 20-year-old who is very difficult to change, but he's like, when I do cleanses and I just like leave the pot of, you know, tincture on the tongue. And I remember Kate saying this, too. He goes, gee, that smells good. And the next thing I know, he's eating it and feeling good. And just recently, he had these allergies. And he's been going, I don't know what to do about it. Anybody knows? And I said, how about just going to bed early? He's like, I can do it on your mind. I'm 20 years old. Well, he started going to bed a little bit early. He was interested. And his allergies kind of cleared away. He starts eating, you know, he's like asking me what to eat now, and he's feeling good. He's coming out of, he was a little depressed, I have to say, and he's coming back to feeling like good. And just little changes like that, you know, are just, they sound insurmountable sometimes, but when you start to get into it, you start waking up with a clear head, like he is, like I am all the time now, and, you know, that's like my basic thing. I always go back to it. It's just, you know, some of the other stuff I fall off of, I have to say, the Avianca during the summer. Are you kidding, putting oil on myself? But the thing, you know, just eating three meals and the sleep, and just take it a few at a time. You know, you don't have to gulp it all down sometimes. I think life is so overwhelming as it is. But just take the ones that, you know, you want to kind of experience and play around with, and take them for a time being. Just don't take them just, you know, oh, a quick fix. You know, really absorb it, write it down, all those kind of things. Stop, pause, you know, meditate. You can even do it as you're, you know, in your car waiting for your kids, because I'm beyond that. But just all these little things that I wish I had known when I was Kate's age. It's just invaluable. It's invaluable. So that's all. But I just wanted to say thank you. I'm going to join, of course. And I'm looking so forward. You guys are such a dynamite duo. I think it's wonderful.
So nice that you're here, Kathy, and all the rest of you. It's so nice that you're here. As you can tell, it's hard for Kate and I to end these calls because it's so nice to hear from you. But end them we must so that we can begin the next stage and phase. And really look forward to our conversation live, questions and answers in August. And just a quick note on the Facebook group page. It's not really a page that Kate and I are there to answer your questions there. It's for you to talk to each other, answer each other's questions, and post questions if you like. If you're not going to be live on our question and answer call, you can post questions there. Say, hey, would you address this on the question and answer call? And we will do our best to do that. So we may sometimes we're able to have more of a presence on the Facebook page than others. We're really going to do our best to be there and chat. But it's not a place for us to answer your questions. It's for you to answer each other's and post what you'd like us to discuss in the Q&A. So. And unless you have anything more, Kate, maybe we can just take 30 seconds of quiet, just to absorb before we sign out.
Yeah, I just want one last thing that I'll add is I'll send an email out with the recording. And if you have, you know, if you think of a friend that might benefit from hearing the conversation, we'd appreciate it if you forward it and just widen the circle. And that's it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Kate. So thank you, everybody, from around the world and around the country and around the ethers.
Okay, thank you all. And I'll go ahead and unmute the lines, and we can say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.